In this video, we'll finish up our ASP.NET 2.0 quiz engine project, and we're going to start with Snapshot 6, where we talk about adding themes and skins to our project. In Snapshot 7, we'll refine this functionality so that our users can select their preferred theme for our site and have their preferences saved for future visits. And finally, in Snapshot number 8, we're going to try and look at some of the spots within our code where we can employ some better exception handling. We're going to add an error page for our site, and then we'll speak briefly about deploying the site to a web server. So, in Snapshot number 6, I wanted to add the ability for our users to select their preferred skin. In other words, the graphics and the text styles that give our site its distinct visual presentation quality. Now, honestly, this is a little gratuitous. I mean, for this type of website, do we really need that sort of functionality? Well, probably not. Nonetheless, it's a nice touch, and we didn't talk about it yet in our discussion of ASP.NET 2.0, so I thought it would be a nice little addition to what we've been working on. And it's probably a feature that's best used on applications and websites that are very personalizable, like a portal, for example. In Snapshot 6, we'll look at some of the first steps that I took, and I broke this up into two steps. The first step is just getting the themes set up and working on the pages. And then the second step would be to allow the user to select which themes they want and then save that into their profile information. And that's what we're going to discuss in Snapshot 7 in just a moment. Now, there's a number of ways to employ themes and skins in ASP.NET 2.0. Like so many other things about ASP.NET, there's a lot of options here, and I'm not going to take the time to discuss all the permutations about this. I'm working on a series of videos on LearnVisualStudio.net that'll go into a lot of depth on this particular topic. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of good articles on MSDN and throughout the .NET community. But at a high level, there's a difference between a theme and a skin in ASP.NET vernacular. A theme works at the page level, and a skin works at the control level. A theme can define multiple skins. Each control can determine which skin that it's going to use. For example, you might define two skins for all ASP.NET button server controls. You may have two different usages for buttons. In our case, we have a wizard style navigation in our questions page, for example. And then we have those just general submit form functionality buttons that use a button control. We may want these to look different visually, in which case we would assign each of them a different skin ID that is defined in a .skin file. However, the skins are somewhat related. They may all have a certain border, text, or font property, a color that fits into a certain theme. Now, we might have a whole other theme that has those same skin IDs defined, but with different borders, fonts, and color schemes. So, once again, there's a lot of flexibility here, and we can't spend enough time really diving into this beyond our particular implementation. So, let's talk about our implementation. In our case, much of the stylistic aspect of our application is defined in the styles.css file. And then also we have an images folder that has those little banner images at the top of each page. So, what I'm going to do is show how we're going to use themes to change out the style sheet and those graphics. Again, keep in mind that there's a lot of flexibility, and I'm only demonstrating one way to employ themes and skins within your app. So one of the first things that I did was create a new app themes folder. It was as simple as right-clicking on my project and then selecting add folder, and you can see that theme folder is one of the options here within our project. When I selected that, it created a themes folder for me. Next, I need to create individual themes within my theme folder. So again, it's as easy as just right-clicking, selecting Add Folder, and then clicking Theme Folder from the context menu. Once I named my theme folders, these become the names of my themes. Each theme folder contains resources for that particular theme. For example, you can see here that I have a silver.skin file, and I can define multiple skin files within my theme. Each skin file can define how one or more server controls should be rendered, so what changes there should be in the visual property of that particular skin. And you can define multiple skins for a given server control, but each skin has to have a unique skin ID for that particular server control. So if you had the same skin ID for a button and a label, that's okay. But you can't have two skin IDs for two button definitions. That wouldn't make any sense. Okay? Hopefully that made a little bit of sense. All right, also you can see here that I have my style sheet. So I basically moved my style sheet from the same area that it was in, the root of my application, to this new silver directory. And I also have my images folder contained here as well. You can see that I've done essentially the exact same thing with another theme that I'm calling red. I have a red skin, which we're going to look at our skin files in just a moment, an images folder with unique red images that will be used in place of the silver ones, and then a new style sheet that will define the visual properties for my red skin, for the text, for any borders, any fonts, things of that nature. Okay, so one of the things that I needed to do, and I'm not doing this in any particular order. Actually, it was an iterative process where I did a little bit of work in, for example, my default page, and then worked on my .skin file a little bit until I got everything working the way I wanted it to. But let's start by looking at our default .aspx page. And you can see one of the first things that I did was that I changed out the image tags, just the regular HTML IMG tags, and changed them out for image server controls. So you can see here that I have, for example, that welcome border. I changed it out from an IMG SRC equals images slash welcome.gif. I changed that to a ASP colon image. I made the ID image welcome. That's not as important as the skin ID, which I called welcome. Now let's take a look in our silver.skin file and see how that's defined. You can see here that there's some example text that's given for you, some examples that you can draw from, and this helped me out quite a bit as I was working on this. You can see this first image control that I define, I create a skin ID called welcome. And in it, I define the image URL. I could define any of the properties of a image control that has this particular skin. In this case, the only thing I really change is the image URL to the silver folder images welcome.gif. Now, in theory, I think I don't need to add that, but this is the way that I got it to work, so I was I left it in there. But you may want to experiment with whether or not you need these relative paths. Okay, but at any rate, you can see that I've defined skin IDs for welcome, line, main menu, quiz starting now, recover password, and results, each of them pointing to a different image URL. So now going back to our default.aspx page, let's continue to look for other image controls that were added. You can see here that I have an image line, so a skin ID of line and so on. And there are some others here. Let's see, here's another line, image line 2, skin ID of line. And here is a main menu, so within our logged in template, we changed out welcome to the main menu header graphic, and in this case we have a skin ID for main menu. This will point to the main menu.gif file. Okay. So you might say, okay, well, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why did you make things essentially a little bit more complex? Well, we added a level of indirection within our application so that it gives us added flexibility. Now all we need to do is tell our page which theme we want to use, and as long as both themes have a definition for skin ID of line, a skin ID of main menu, a skin ID of welcome. Now I've easily given two looks, two visual quality presentations to the exact same page. So where do I define what theme that this page should use? Well, that is a good question, and there's many different ways to do that. Just for testing purposes in this first snapshot, what I did was hard code that essentially in the page directive. So if you look at the very top, we have our page directive where we define what our language is and you know, the code file for our application and so on. And notice here that I have a theme equals red. So by default, we'll be using the red theme. Let's run our application. And you can see now that we definitely have a different look and feel to our page. First of all, notice that the text is gray. Why is that? And why is the login red when before it was blue? Well, I changed the CSS file, the styles.css, so I changed the color property for the text. Also notice that the banner graphics are different, the line is different. The functionality is exactly the same. Now, how can I change back to the silver theme? Easy. I just changed this to silver. And here's something cool. Here, I'm going to delete all this just so you can see IntelliSense kicking in. Theme equals, and then notice that it gives us two options, red or silver. So Visual Web Developer can basically deduce which themes are available and provide those to you in IntelliSense. Here, I'm just going to select it and hit the space bar on my keyboard, and notice that it fills it in and encloses it with quotes. Very cool. Let's run the application again. Having made that single change. And notice now we're back to our previous color for our text defined in the styles.css. We have our original welcome graphic that kind of has that silver ice blue color, and then also our gray line graphic. Okay, so this is all well and good. However, we don't want to define things in this regard. We want our users to be able to define that. So in other words, each user should be able to determine how they want to see our web pages. Do they want the red theme or the silver theme or any of the themes that we have available for them? And so now, having finished up snapshot number 6, we need to consider how we're going to accomplish this for snapshot number 7. Okay, so we're looking at snapshot number 7. In this snapshot, what we're going to do is enable the user to select which theme they would prefer to look at as they log in to our website and interact with it. So let's take a look at our default.aspx page. We'll want to take a look, first of all, at the design view and talk about where this selection can be made. Make sure, if you're following along, that you select the login view and you choose the logged in template, because the user will need to be logged in order to persist their selection. This will not work for users that are not saved within our personalization and membership database in our app data folder, the ASP.NET DB.MDF. Again, just to refresh your memory, what we did to enable that was went to our ASP.NET configuration selection on our menu, and from our admin tool, go to security tab, and the same functionality that enables us to define users and allow or deny access based on that, whether or not that they have an account with us, is the same functionality that allows us to persist other properties that are called the profile. So we're able to save information about a user in their profile object. And we'll talk about that more in just a moment. What I want to do is scroll down to the very bottom. Let's scroll down to the very bottom here. You see they have a very simple implementation of the theme preference selection. First of all, I have basically two hyperlinks, silver and red. If I put my mouse cursor in the silver, notice that I am looking at a simple anchor tag I'm going to scroll down to the href property and take a look at the href is default.aspx, and then I have a query string theme equals, in this case, silver. If I were to select the red hyperlink, the anchor tag, and go down to my href property, notice that it's exactly the same. The only change is that the theme equals red in this particular case. So I'm basically going to refresh this page and send back a query string of the selection of the user. Now the real trick is in the code that will interpret this query string and then decide what to do. And there's really three tasks that our code has to accomplish. The first one is to retrieve the value of our query string. Based on that, change the theme for this page. And then also we need to persist that selection for two reasons. Persist it so that each page from this point on, our questions page, the start page, the results page, and so on, so that they will use the same theme that was selected by the user. And then also, if the user were to log out, come back a week from now, we don't want them to have to reselect their preferred theme. We want to store that for them and really personalize their experience. Okay, so let's take a look at the code for our default.aspx.vb file. All right, so here we are. Notice first of all is that I am setting the page.theme property, the theme property for this page, equal to the value that's currently stored in the profile.theme object. All right, so where do we define this property, the theme property? Remember that from our previous discussions about the profile object is that we defined this little cache of properties for all of our users that is saved in our ASP.NET DB.MDF file in our web.config. So let's open that up and take a look at the system.web element of our web.config file. Notice here we have a profile section, profile, the property enabled, set to true, and then we have the ability to add a list of properties. In this case, we have only one property. We've added one called name. We've added one called theme. We could add as many as we want here and store information that's pertinent to a specific user. So every user will have a property called theme stored in their property cache within the ASP.NET DB.MDF file for that particular user. Okay, this is where we define that we're going to have theme. Now notice here, if I were to go to this line and select profile dot, and notice that I get IntelliSense that allows me to see that it's strongly typed, that it's recognized by ASP.NET and by, in particular, I guess, Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition, and it's a valid property for me to use. So I get that added benefit, which is very cool. Now, let's back up a little bit and talk about how this gets set. First of all, notice in line 21 that we're working with the page underscore pre-initialization, or rather the pre-init event. If you try to set the theme property for our page anywhere but in the pre-initialization event, you will get a build error that says essentially you can only set the theme property in the pre-initialization event. So we have subpage pre-init, sender E as event args, handles me.pre-init, okay, in Visual Basic. Next, notice that the first thing I need to do is check to see if there's a query string called theme. If that is not null, then we want to retrieve that value and place it in our profile.theme property. Once we have that, now we get to check to see if the user is currently logged in. The way we're going to do that is to see if this user is anonymous. If he is anonymous, then there's nothing we can do for him. We cannot change the page theme because we can't use the profile object because the user is currently anonymous. So we'll skip everything after line 27 and basically send them to a default theme for our page. However, assuming that they are logged in and assuming that they have something stored in their theme property for their profile object, then we'll take that value and set it to our page, and ASP.NET 2.0 will accommodate our request. Okay, so what happens if, first of all, a particular user does not log in, or what happens to, in this case, the default page before they get a chance to log in? Well, that's handled back on our default.aspx page. Let's go to the source, and you recall that we set the theme property of our page directive to silver. This will be the default theme that's employed. Okay, so that's great. Everything seems to look good for our default page. Let's take a look now at those pages that will be affected by this. And those pages would be the start page, the questions page, and the results page, but not the recover password page. Why not? Well, because you don't have to be logged in order to recover your password. So we're not going to worry about that page. But for the start, the questions, and the result page, what we need to do, first of all, is create a kind of a smaller version, an easier, dumbed down version of this page underscore pre-init event, and simply check to make sure that the user's logged in, that they've set something for their theme, and if they have within their profile object, then we're going to take that value and set it to our page.theme property. Okay. Now, again, what happens if they don't have something saved in their profile.theme property? Well, going back to our HTML view, notice that we have a theme equals silver, so that'll be the default. So let's try this out. Let's run the application. Whoops, let's stop it here because I don't want to bring up the start page first. Okay, so it popped us to the default. That's great. Okay, so let's log in. Remember that we're logging in as admin, so admin. Password is capital PASS at WRD1. Log in. And so notice that I've already run this application, obviously, as I was developing it. And for this particular user, he set his preference to the red theme. I'm going to change that to the silver theme. I'm going to go to the next page. Okay. Then I'm going to shut down my browser. I'm going to start up the application again. And I'm going to log in a second time. Admin pass, at word one. Okay, so I'm logged in as admin again. Now I'm looking at the silver theme. I want to change back to the red theme. Go to the available test. Great. Shut her down. Run her again. Okay, this time let's make sure that we have indeed the color we're expecting here. And you can see indeed it is saving our theme preference for this particular user. Very cool. Okay, so that pretty much finishes it up. Very easy implementation for our purposes. And now we want to focus on those final steps in snapshot number 8. Those final steps that will include adding some exception handling, adding an error page, and then talking briefly about how we're going to deploy this. Okay, so we're taking a look at snapshot number 8. In this snapshot, we're going to clean up some of the rough edges, do a little bit of testing, and look for opportunities where we can improve the quality of the code through the inclusion of exception handling, and then also make some provisions for when bad things happen to good applications. So we'll add an error.aspx page as well. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Okay, so to get started, basically I'm just looking for places where I need to clean some things up. Notice that I moved line 19, I think it was formerly line number 17, to only execute under certain conditions if the page is being posted back and if the profile, if the user has essentially logged in, then we will add a session object called username. So that was a small improvement. On the start page, added some additional try-catch statements. Whoops, I'm sorry. On the questions page, added some try-catch. Great. Okay, so essentially I identified two potential problems on the questions.aspx.vb file. And that is, whenever we're working with databases, things can go wrong. Whenever we're working with things that are stored in memory, things can go wrong. For example, what if the user's session times out? What if the server is reset while they're taking their quiz? What if the database somehow becomes corrupt, goes offline, or it just generally becomes unavailable? Well, those are things that we need to account for within our application. So I've decided to wrap those within try-catch statements. Now, the challenge is always determining what you should do whenever things go wrong. And as I've noted here, and you can read my little diatribe about my thoughts on this particular thing, but it really pays to be empathetic with the user. Take a break, get away from the computer, think about what it means to be a user of this application and to be halfway through your quiz and something goes wrong. What would you want to see? Well, first of all, you wouldn't want this to happen, but what if it did? What would you want to occur? Well, in some ways, we're going to be able to accommodate those requests. Basically, because this is just a tutorial, I'm not sure I can make this completely 100% foolhardy or impervious to any problems that could ever occur. But I still want to acknowledge them and think through those things. In my case, I'm taking a very weaselly, cheesy way out, and that is to simply send them back to the default.aspx page. There's other options. I could try to send myself an email as the webmaster from this spot right here in our catch statement. I could try logging this exception to the log file. I could throw the exception after that so that the user will then be sent to the error.aspx page. These are all good viable options. In this particular case, I didn't do that, but that's something that we may need to consider in future iterations of our application. Essentially, it gets down to the issue of how much time do you have and how many times do we actually run into these situations. And based on that, then you have to make some decisions about what you're going to do. Similarly, ran into the same kind of considerations on the results page. So here's the scenario. I'm almost finished with my quiz. I go to the results page where it's supposed to store the results of my quiz and present them to me, and between the last question of the quiz and the results, the server gets reset, the database goes offline, whatever the case might be. Number of different potential problems. What happens then? Well, very similar in thought, as you see here, and I've actually giving you a little bit of theory here. It reminds me of a great programmer quote that I once heard: nine tenths of programming is handling exceptions, not the rule. And so many times I feel like we spend a lot of time implementing the business rules, but not protecting the user from the bad things that can happen. Unfortunately, I'm practicing that here by merely sending the user back to the default page when I could, in fact, be doing some other things. I'll leave those to you and to future potential iterations of our application. But when bad things do happen within our application, we want to give the user some feedback. So I created a very simple error.aspx page. I set the default theme and basically just said, "Don't panic, you did nothing wrong. However, we did run into a small problem on our side that may have affected the data you were working with on the website. We apologize. Rest assured that our programmers will be flogged and tortured for this." And then what I did was go to our trusty ASP.NET configuration tool. Go to the application tab and set the default error page for our application. Selecting our error.aspx page and then clicking save. And now, if there are any exceptions that are thrown by our pages, then at least the user will be presented with some information that it wasn't something they did, that is something that ultimately we're going to be responsible for. So that pretty much enables that functionality. Now we're at the end. All we need to do is deploy our application. And as we've demonstrated in a previous video, this becomes super easy. Again, you have to make sure that your hosting company or the servers that you're deploying this application to have the .NET Runtime 2.0 installed. And then it's simply a matter of selecting our project, clicking the Copy Website button, which brings up our Copy Web tab, setting our connection. And again, we've demonstrated how to do this in a previous video. By clicking the Connection button, we get to define the server properties, whether we're deploying on our local area network, or to an FTP site, or to a remote site using front page extensions. Okay. But at any rate, no matter what we select all of our files and select go, transfer, and our application should work. Again, deployment is an absolute breeze in ASP.NET 2.0. Okay, so we've come to the end of this 14 lesson series. We've spent several hours listening to me talk if you've gotten to this point. So first of all, I want to say congratulations. That is a feat in and of itself, and it's much appreciated. I hope that you, as a result of these lessons, get a better appreciation for the depth and the breadth of ASP.NET 2.0, that I've inspired you to take the first steps to develop your own applications and to just experiment, to play around. And I wish you great success in doing this. If we can be of any benefit to you at LearnVisualStudio.net, please visit us and consider subscribing. So thank you and good luck.